I'm delighted to see this direction that the seminar has taken. I was an editor of the predecessor of the seminarian for two of my years here at Concordia, and this idea of a workshop just plain never occurred to us. I guess it sort of underscores how things keep changing and, I would say, keep improving. I want to talk this morning about the general topic of the professional as organizational leader, but of course, in particular, about the pastor as the professional who is the organizational leader. And I'm going to be making almost synonymous organizational and administrative. I think the two are very close, and I'll be interchanging them. And I'd like to start off by saying that I think we can assume that there's a pretty healthy and strong tension between the professional perspective or role and the administrative perspective or role. And I say this not just on the basis of talking about ministers and their own experience. There is a fair amount of literature that has developed about professionals in other organizations. Social workers, professors, particularly scientists, engineers, and it's one of the hypotheses that has been developed and a fair amount of support has emerged for it is that there is really an inverse relationship between the professional perspective and the organizational perspective. In other words, the more professional a person is, the less he's going to be interested in administrative things. And the more administrative or organizational a person thinks and does the way it does his things, the less he's going to really be professional. There are various ways of measuring this. Among the scientists, they can measure professional in terms of output of articles, measure organizational in terms of advancement in the hierarchy. The kind of tension that emerged in a lot of other professions, I think, perhaps has been somewhat stunted, however, in the church among pastors, for reasons that President Tichen mentioned right at the beginning. He stole some of my thunder, too, about how we really haven't given much heed at all to the administrative orientation. We tend to wind up sort of dismissing it as paper shuffling, a waste of time, or a necessary evil at best. And it's never really been regarded, I shouldn't state it so strongly, it has never been really regarded, but a general approach is one of seeing it as something that's not worthy of a lot of attention. I think I can speak to that from my own experience. My student days at Concordia Fort Wayne were very much caught up in philosophy. I spent a year studying philosophy in Germany, and systematic theology was my interest here. Very much the non-administrative orientation, and I can still remember the condescension that the kind of groups I liked to run around in at that time had for practical theology. Somehow or another, that wasn't really worthy of one's attention, particularly administration. But I'll have to admit that along the line about vicarage point came the dawning recognition that philosophy and the abstractions of systematic theology weren't going to solve a lot of the problems that I saw. And I had a pretty strong yen for results, and that's what led me ultimately to go into a graduate program in business administration. Out of that background of my own, I has come a real intrigue with this question of the professional and the administrative, since I think I've gotten a fair dosage of both of them. I would like to offer the view today in my presentation that there doesn't have to be a tension, that it is possible to work out a synthesis. Before I can do that, though, I'm going to have to spend some time talking about the importance of the organizational or administrative perspective, and that'll be the first part of my talk. And I'd like to describe the synthesizer approach towards the parish ministry. So my third major point, I'd like to give some rationale or some theory for this synthesizer approach. And depending on time, I'd like to offer some management or administrative insights that might be worth thinking about in this context. Let me start off my comments about the importance of the administrative perspective towards the parish ministry by observing, first of all, I can assume that you all realize the importance of the professional perspective. By my not talking about that at this point doesn't mean I don't think it's important. I'm assuming that. One of the earlier studies that highlighted very well the difficulty that pastors have with the administrative part of their job was done by Samuel Blizzard in 1956, or that's when his article appeared in Christian Century, and he entitled his work, The Minister's Dilemma. And what he did is a survey of 690 Protestant clergymen. I had various parts to it, but the part that's interesting for us this morning is the one that revolved around distinguishing several key, as he called them, practitioner roles for a pastor or for a minister. And I'm going to list them, first of all, in the way ministers themselves listed them when they talked about the things they regarded as most important in their work. And it so happens that that listing or ranking that they made of the roles that were most important corresponded to the ranking of the roles that they enjoyed the most. And it started off, not surprisingly, with preacher. Second one was pastor. Counselor sort of built into that. Priest, and by that, in this study, was meant leading worship. Teacher is the fourth role. And then came organizer. And at the bottom of the list came administrator. After Blizzard had established this, he went on to ask, okay, now what do you spend most of your time on? And what was at the bottom of the list now jumps to the top of the list. Administrator took the most time, followed by pastor, preacher, priest, organizer, and teacher at the bottom. In fact, I can give you a breakdown of the amount of time. The administrator, on average, pastors said they spend about 40% of their time in that role, 10% in the organizer, 25% in the pastor, 20% in the preacher-priest roles combined, and 5% in the teacher role. And that was the dilemma. Pastors wind up spending most of their time in the role that they enjoy the least. And here's the conclusion that Blizzard wound up with. And it's rather strong, and it sort of causes a person to stop and think a minute. No matter how different ministers' ideas of what is important in the ministry are, all wind up doing substantially the same thing. It is perfectly apparent how largely the social roles of Protestant parish ministers are conditioned and defined by requests of parishioners, the denominational program, and the culture of the community. It is not nearly so clear at the parish level, however, how much a minister's religious ideology or normative orientation has to do with what he actually does as a minister. Blizzard's study gave me some ideas for the study that I did, my dissertation in my graduate program, and I'd like to build on his conclusions to explain what I got to in my studies. Blizzard wound up looking mostly at time as one of the key dependent variables. I wanted to carry that a little bit further by looking at the dependent variables of effectiveness or leader effectiveness, and then also job satisfaction of ministers. Blizzard found that the professional perspective, as I would call it, he called it religious ideology, had little effect on the way pastors used to spend their time. What I found is that the professional perspective had little effect on their effectiveness as a minister. And I'm going to talk about that and show you how I got to that conclusion. And as I read, Blizzard said that the administrative and organizational functions determined the role behavior of parish ministers. And I can state a little more strongly that point by saying that the administrative and organizational functions wind up determining the role success of a parish minister. The sample in my study was made up of 56 parish pastors here in the St. Louis area from five denominations. Lutherans were one of them, and I see here one of the men that participated in it, Pastor Gerhard Schmidt. I also had United Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Episcopalians. I ought to define my terms. I've been talking sort of in passing about professional perspective and organizational perspective. By perspective, I mean allegiance to the interests, values, goals, standards, the things that turn professionals on and the things that turn organization-type people on. And the reference group for these two different perspectives would be seminary professors for the professional and the denomination in particular, and denominational executives for the organizational perspective. I developed a scale to measure these two perspectives and how strongly a pastor was interested in each of them, made up of 20 items, and I enjoyed the help of a number of people here at the seminary and in churches hereabout as my panel of experts to help me sort these out. I won't go into detail on that other than to mention the six subdimensions that I was working with to give you a little more of an idea of what I mean by professional perspective and organizational perspective. Under professional, I was looking for these six things: intellectual competence, appreciation of primary objectives, sensitivity to issues and change, specialized service, autonomy, and seminary reference group. And under the organizational perspective, I was looking at involvement in the organization, or in particular the parish, emphasis on organizational growth and stability, concern for use of power, attention to administrative procedures, identity as administrator, and then denominational reference group. I ought to explain a little bit about my criteria, too, for effectiveness. That seems to be a fairly important measurement. I was looking at three dimensions of leadership. This might get a little bit jargonish, but what I had worked with were definitions of instrumental leadership, the practical getting programs done, expressive leadership, the ability of a leader to keep his people feeling together, united, that kind of cohesiveness, and then normative leadership, which is a leadership that centers on setting goals, setting direction and purpose. And I measured each of these three dimensions according to different standards, one of which was the viewpoint of officers in a congregation. As part of the survey, I asked each pastor to give the effectiveness questionnaire that I worked out to four congregation officers. I picked the names at random from the list of officers, and they all followed through quite willingly in giving it to the members. Then I had the denominational executive from each of these five denominations do a rating of each pastor. And then I looked at various records from the congregation's past. The two that turned out to be most important were the percent growth and the percent of giving that went for benevolence or for purposes outside the congregation. Let me not bother you with the details of how all this data got together and the statistics of it, and just give you my results. By the way, I'm in the fortunate position to be able to say that my article on this will be coming out next month in the Administrative Science Quarterly. I was kind of happy to find that a journal that is very much oriented to the administrative side of things was willing to pick up an article about parish ministry. That doesn't happen too often, and I think it shows a growing awareness on the part of people in administrative schools and circles in general to be interested in the organizations the churches have. There are interesting and unique problems that are attractive to them, too. Well, my results, I sort of intimated at them earlier. The effectiveness scores let me go back a minute. What I did is divided my pastors in the sample into two groups. First of all, in terms of the professional perspective, those that had a high perspective, in other words, the highest half of the scores and the lowest half of the scores. And then I went back and did it again and divided the group into those that had the highest half of the organizational perspective scores and the lowest half. What I found out is that the effectiveness scores with the pastors who had a high professional emphasis were not appreciably different from the effectiveness scores of the pastors who had a low professional emphasis. However, the effectiveness scores for the pastors who had a high organizational emphasis were higher than the scores for the men who had a low organizational emphasis or perspective. And I should say then, I also studied job satisfaction in terms of asking them to answer a few items on how satisfied they were in their work. And in this case, both the professional and the organizational perspectives did have some impact. In other words, the men who were high on each scored higher on satisfaction than the men who were low on each. My conclusion, and I would state it first of all in the strongest terms, I'm not sure whether we can buy all of that because it might be too strong, but let me state it that way anyhow, is that the organizational perspective is more important for determining effectiveness than the professional perspective. As I say, that might be too strong, but at a minimum, what can be said out of this is that the organizational perspective is very important for determining effectiveness. Some observations that would come out of that very logically are that pastors would be wise to cultivate the organizational perspective, and that seminaries would be wise to try to represent that perspective and call special attention to it in the training of ministers. Well, the discussion so far and the way I've talked about this research that has been done highlights the tension between these two perspectives. And again, I think it's kind of necessary to do that since the administrative side usually winds up being neglected or at least slighted. But I don't want to leave things at this tension because I don't think it has to be one or the other. And in fact, I'm uncomfortable at that earlier statement saying that the organizational perspective is more important than the professional perspective. I think the two belong together. And I think that we ought to be working at a synthesis of the two. And I'd like to explain how that can be done and what it means in terms of a little schema here. I mentioned earlier that I had taken the total group of people in the sample, and I divided it in half between those who were high and low on the professional perspective. But we can also do it the other way, taking the organizational perspective. And dividing it between those who were low and high. And when we put the two together, we wind up with four cells. We can start off by talking at the low-low combination, and I would call that a caretaker approach towards parish administration. We can talk about the high professional, low organizational combination, and I call that the idealist approach. And we can talk about the low professional, high organizational perspective or combination, and I call that the operator approach. And then we can talk about the combination of the highs of both, the high-high, and I call that the synthesizer. What I had started out hoping to show in my research was that the synthesizer indeed emerged as the most effective of the four groups, and the results didn't come out that way as strongly as I wanted, or at least not as strongly as would stand up under statistical scrutiny. The raw scores did come out with the synthesizer as being the highest. By raw, I mean before statistical tests of significance were applied. And I think that that does offer the suggestion and the strong possibility that indeed the synthesizer combination is the most effective. I just am not in a position of being able to say in front of you this morning that I demonstrated it. I kind of like to believe it is. And there were other sort of ways of combining that that left some room to follow that kind of an assumption. And I'd like to kind of illustrate different understandings of ministry, parish ministry, and the strengths of ministry by talking about some interview material that I had from pastors who wound up being classified particularly either as idealist, operator, or synthesizer, just to give you a little flavor of how this worked out. Along with all these questionnaires I had for the pastors, I asked them open-ended questions in an interview, one of which was, what are the main problems of running a congregation? Just very open-ended. And it was highly interesting to see what they chose to talk about. The professional sort of idealist men tended to talk about things like this, mix up and goal priorities. Quote, we get so involved in secondary things in the parish, we find ourselves spinning wheels. Relevancy was a high concern for them. Being a jack of all trades and a master of none, which is pretty much of a professional orientation with the emphasis professionals tend to put on specialization. The operators and their organizational perspective came out talking about power centers within the congregation and competing bids for power. Quote, part of good administration is to keep the church afloat and still not have the church sabotaged. They were interested in mechanics of parish organization, updating the structure, or just plain simply, as one man put it, keeping people happy and out of each other's hair. The synthesizer I found interesting for his ability to take organizational concepts and add a fair amount of depth to them, like lack of involvement. Some of the operators talked about lack of involvement as a problem, but they tended to see it as the problem in and of itself, and in the extreme form it came out in this quote, anybody who doesn't show much concern about my church and my operations, I have trouble showing concern for him. A synthesizer goes on to say that it's really a symptom of deeper problems when people are not involved in a church. And they would go on and talk about poor motivation or missed opportunities for education or deficient concern for social problems. And that kind of difference in interpretation comes out with the problem of poor communication, which a number of men mentioned. The operators tended to see poor communication as something that might get taken care of by lengthy newsletters, or as one man said or was doing, 20-page agendas for monthly meetings. A synthesizer would see it more as a reflection of confusion about mission or human weakness calling for insight. Anyhow, something deeper underlying poor communication. And then one man, one synthesizer, blended what I thought were organizational and professional concerns very well in the concept of morale. The problem in running a congregation for him was poor morale, and here's how he defined it, defined morale. When people stay with jobs they have, when finances are in order, and also when people are willing to deal with social issues and still accept each other. And I thought that was a pretty good way of trying to blend what this man was feeling as two important things. Well, how about the strengths that these ministers brought to their work? The professionals, or the idealists with a high professional orientation, understandably mentioned preaching. In fact, 5 out of the 12 in my sample talked about preaching as their strength, or they would talk about understanding, insight, sensitivity, pastoral concern. The man with a high organizational perspective alone, in other words, the operators, none of them mentioned preaching. I thought that was very interesting. Their strengths went along the line of getting along with people, or, and this is interesting, being a jack of all trades, or being enthusiastic, dependable, having an anxiety to, quote, get along with the program, or simply, as one man put it, the ability to put up churches and get debts paid off. Well, how about the skills of a synthesizer? What did these men talk about? One of them put it this way, I am a skilled worker. I know my job and how to do it, and I do it. I know where I should be going, and I'm moving in that direction. Another man talked in terms of being an enabler. He shares leadership with members and builds productive, friendly relationships. Or one man talked about his ability as making the organization a setting for his professional activities in these terms. I can reach an accord with my people by which they will trust me enough to come to church, and that's where I will do my thing. And then one man finally mentioned that his strength was in being a pastoral director. And I want to highlight that phrase as a transition into my next section of a rationale for this kind of synthesizer approach towards the parish ministry, because the pastoral director is a concept that H. Richard Niebuhr brought out in his book, The Purpose of the Church and Its Ministry, and was published in 1956. Let me read to you his definition of what a pastoral director is. Pastoral director carries on all the traditional functions of the ministry, preaching, leading the worshiping community, administering the sacraments, caring for souls, presiding over the church. But as the preacher and priest organize these traditional functions in a special way, so does the pastoral director. His first function is that of building or edifying the church. He is concerned in everything that he does to bring into being a people of God who, as church, will arrive at the purpose of the church in the local community. I might say that in the 50s, Niebuhr was heavily criticized for this concept of the pastoral director. Part of it, I think, was a reaction against that term director, as we were moving into that phase of non-directive counseling, and anything that had an authoritative smack to it tended to go over poorly. But I think another reason he was criticized, and it wasn't expressed as clearly, but would come from the underlying bias that so many professionally trained pastors have against thinking in terms of being an administrator. It just is not a very flattering term. I would say, though, that Niebuhr's pastoral director concept states very well the synthesizer approach, because it highlights the professional functions. As he says, pastoral director has to be concerned about preaching, leading the worshiping community, caring for souls, all those traditional functions that we worry about so much in seminary education. It also calls on a professional contribution in terms of setting the goals. As you'll recall, he talks about serving the purpose of the church, and that's where professionals come in very handy, tussling with that question of goals and purpose. But Niebuhr also brings in the administrative organizational side, because he talks about the people of God in a local community, a very distinct group. He avoids the alternative that so many writers take in theology of talking about church in the very abstract, and there are good theological reasons for doing that, I suppose. But so much of the writing just leaves the organization out of concern altogether. And the church that you and I live with is usually the local one that represents a distinct organization. And then he highlights what is pure administration, and that's moving an organization towards the fulfillment of its goals. That kind of definition of administration is something that Alvin Lindgren can live with quite well, and I'd like to recommend this book to you if you want to pursue any further the topic of parish administration, Foundations for Purposeful Church Administration. The books that have come out on parish administration have generally not been very exciting. I've taken it upon myself to review whatever I could find in our library here at Concordia, and this is about the only one I found that looked at all interesting. I think he's done a very good job of pulling together just the wealth of material that relates to parish administration. Let me read to you his definition of administration. Administration is the task of discovering and clarifying the goals and purpose of the field it serves and of moving in a coherent, comprehensive manner toward their realization. Two parts, I've said them before, but defining the goals and then moving the people, the organization, towards the accomplishment of those goals. I would submit that administration understood in these terms is the real essence of ministry. And in saying that, I've got to make clear that I'm working with a concept of administration that probably departs a fair amount from the concept most of you have. And I think I've gotten a fair feeling for the usual understanding of administration in terms of the reactions that people give to me when they find out that I've studied business administration, and they try to sort of figure out where that's going to fit me in. And the usual understanding is something I'd wind up calling mostly office administration, record keeping, paying the bills, maintaining the building, purchasing. Definitely a part of administration, but I would say it's not the chief part at all. I want to make sure that you understand me that I'm not dismissing that as being important. It's certainly a key part, but not the main part of administration. The main part, I think, sort of goes back to that, to the root of the word administer, ministro, Latin, and then the prefix ad, to, ministering to people. And I think that this kind of broader understanding of administration, again, talking about defining the goals and moving people towards those goals, is what really top-level management in business or any organization is all about. And that, I think, is what most graduate programs in business administration are all about. The skills, the techniques of administration, of planning, organizing, controlling, the kind of stuff that people study in accounting courses and finance courses, they're all important. But what a good administration program aims at is mostly to create a frame of mind among the students that are going through that. And it's a frame of mind that has to do with just what I've been talking about, trying to keep very clear what the goals of that organization are and where an organization is not achieving them. This is brought out, by the way, in the kind of method that what some people would consider the country's leading business school, the Harvard Business School, does with its case studies. Just day after day after day for 2 years, students are continually reading about organizations, businesses, just hundreds of them in their studies, always struggling to work out that sensitivity for what the basic goal is and how an organization could be moving towards it much better. I think that we in the church have never really gotten a feel for what top-level management is about. Perhaps that's because we haven't run into enough top-level managers in our parishes. I'm not sure. We tend to have a surplus of middle management people, and I think they have a little different perspective from the one that top-level management has. Maybe we have difficulty attracting and holding top-level managers because there's a real problem in communication. What they understand as being important, we, by we I mean pastors, because of our professional bias, sometimes tend to want to downplay because it's only administrative, and it becomes difficult to listen to them in the kind of work they're doing, which in so many ways is similar to what pastors are doing who have to live with organizations. And I submit that your job as pastors, or pastors-to-be, is essentially a top-level management position. And there aren't many kind of organizations that you can get into where you all of a sudden become the top-level management the day after you graduate from school. And that's, I think, what makes it kind of exciting and especially challenging. Of course, the disadvantage is that you miss the experience of working your way up and hence never really get a feel for that kind of organizational climate that so often develops along the way. I think that the professional orientation that we tend to get in seminary training helps us miss that frame of mind of top-level management for a couple reasons. One is that we get so hung up on goals and purposes. We spend so much of our time talking just about that we never get around to worrying about how to apply it. And then when we do get to that stage of talking about people and applying it, we so often either shoot above or below the organizational level, below it in terms of working with individuals. And that's so much a part of pastoral training, the counseling, the one-to-one relationships. And it's really great, but it's not the organization. And when we're not talking about individuals, we tend to be talking about masses, that great undefined group of people out there. And when it's undefined, it's very difficult to know quite what to do to move the masses. It's that organizational level, usually in our circles, 300 to 500 people or so, that is the unit that the pastor has to work with and the unit that we find so hard to get a real feel for. Well, let me end here. I see that I've run out of time, and I won't be able to go on with some of the other ideas I was thinking of talking about in terms of what people in a school of business administration might have to offer as some general insights in dealing with organizations. Let me conclude by saying that this kind of synthesizer role, I think, really calls for the best of the professional skills of a man and the best of the administrative skills, particularly in a time of change. In a time of change, as you all know, the professional skills are highly called for because we don't know as well as we used to what our goals are. And in a time of change, the administrative skills are called for because our members don't know as much anymore what's expected of them. When roles were clearly defined and we had traditional organization that was not explicitly worked out, and yet we had people working together and doing things, administration kind of tended to take care of itself. It doesn't now. And I think that under current conditions where the church is today, there just is a tremendous need for the synthesizer approach towards the parish ministry. Thank you.